Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1266 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is important in order to have the proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, it is required that we also have a proper understanding of God and His Word. Our focus for the next several months on Worldview Wednesday is mastering the Bible through a series of brief insights. These insights are extracted from a book by the same title from one of today's most prominent Hebrew scholars, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. This book is a collection of insights designed to help you to better understand the Bible. When we let the Bible be what it is, we can understand it as the original writers did and the original writers intended. Each week, we'll explore two additional insights. Today's focus will be mastering the Bible because it conveys meaning. And our insight 17 is, the writers of the Bible structured what they wrote to convey meaning. If you've ever had to outline a paper or prepare notes for a company meeting at work, you know that how the elements in your writing or presentation are arranged will matter a lot on how it is received and understood. How information is packaged can be crucial for comprehension. People who work with large amounts of data know especially well that their information presentation often dictates whether the work is grasped or ignored. For this reason, pollsters and statisticians often use visuals, infographics, pie charts, tables, and other means to present their work. A good visual can draw the eye immediately to the most important points that the data conveys. When it comes to writing, skilled authors structure material for the same payoff. They may not use colorful graphs, but there are ways to structure the material to draw the eye, or in the case of the ancient world, the ear, to the important points. One example that is well known by biblical scholars is called chiasm. The word chiasm is derived from the Greek letter chi, which is written like the letter X. Imagine cutting the X vertically in half. The arms of the X move toward the center point and then veer outward again in the opposite direction. Chiasm refers to doing this with writing. The writer builds a scene or an argument in one direction and then begins to work backwards following the same path. By way of illustration, let's consider Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, and let me read that passage and follow along. He will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor of the immortality that God offers, but he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. Notice how the content of these verses move toward a point, which I'll point out with letters, and then it reverses itself element by element. So the structure will be ABC, CBA. So the first A is, God will judge everyone equally, verse 6. B, those who seek God's glory and honor will receive eternal life, in verse 7. C, those who are unrighteous will receive judgment, verse 8. And to reverse that, C again, those who are unrighteous will suffer judgment, verse 9. B, the righteous receive glory and honor, in verse 10. And then A again, God will judge everyone without partiality, verse 11. This arrangement is deliberate, not accidental. Like the rest of the letters in the New Testament, which are referred to as the epistles, Romans would have been read aloud. Alert listeners would have detected repetition patterns like this structure. They would have made content easier to remember. And like this example, the structuring highlights the most important thoughts in a pattern. Biblical writers wrote with intention, and we need to read the Bible in that way. So now let's move on to insight 18. The biblical writers did their homework. Most people are familiar with how libraries are divided into fiction and nonfiction. The difference, of course, is that fiction is contrived. It's storytelling, where the story is an exercise in imagination. This is true even if the story is based on real people and events. If the story did not actually happen, then no matter how closely it resembles reality, it is still fiction. Nonfiction, in its simplest terms, is the opposite. The writer is giving the reader a recounting of something that actually happened or providing information that is factually real. We don't often think about it, but there are many subcategories to both classifications. Not all nonfiction is created equal. Some of it may be academic. Say a writer did a good deal of research, and that research is detailed and very dense. The biblical writers were careful researchers as well. Scholars know this for two reasons. First, the scripture itself informs us that sources were used for points of information. For instance, the book of Jasher is mentioned as a source of biblical material on two occasions, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, and in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18. Numbers chapter 21, verse 14 refers to a source called the Book of the Wars of the Lord. Luke, who was not an eyewitness of the life of Jesus, apparently made use of sources in writing his gospel, and this is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Second, even when biblical writers did not name their sources, scholars have been able to trace phrases, poetic lines, and symbols found in scripture to older or contemporary sources in the writings of other civilizations. Biblical writers were under no obligation to indicate when they used sources. There was no sense of intellectual property in the ancient world that required anything like modern footnoting. Luke and Paul quoted classical Greek poets on several occasions. Epimenides of Crete in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Menander in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, and Epididymes of Crete in Titus chapter 1, verse 12. The author of Psalm 74 draws material from Canaanite Baal cycle about the defeat of the primeval sea, which is personified as a sea beast, Leviathan, to describe how God brought order out of chaos. Portions of Proverbs chapter 22 are drawn from an earlier Egyptian text called The Wisdom of Eninimope. Inspiration does not forbid the use of other sources. In fact, the use of sources is another illustration on how inspiration was not a paranormal experience. Biblical writers used materials known from their day for factual information to help them to articulate the arguments and theological assertions. We do the same sort of thing today when we use information outside the Bible to help people understand the scriptures. The difference, of course, is that what we say isn't divine revelation. And that will conclude our week's lesson on another two insights from Dr. Heiser's book, Mastering the Bible. Next Worldview Wednesday, we will continue with two additional insights. I believe that you'll find each Worldview Wednesday an interesting topic to consider as we build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow, we will continue with our 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us and then come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you would like to listen to any of the past 1,265 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and then leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.